Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman doing the report again this morning. Paul Ramo in his usual spot at the control panel, and Tony Smith in the studio. We'll be talking Tony momentarily, but as we normally do, we'll go through some scores. Of course, the game you heard last night live with Paul Ramo, Yellow Medicine East over Lacaparo Valley. Lacaparo Valley scored three touchdowns and made some good things happen. And Tony is pretty optimistic about their performance last night. They were able to do some things against a very strong offense and defensive line for Yellow Medicine East. That score was 48-19. Dawson Boyd in a upset over Lakeview. After Lakeview comes out of that big win over Mineota last week, Dawson Boyd 16-8 over Lakeview. Mineota shut out Russell Tyler Ruthton 39-0. Camby, our next week's opponent, down in Lancerland, shut out McRae 14-0. Tracy Milroy Ballaton over Wabasso, another shutout, 56-0. Renville County West, still ranked in nine-man football over Hills Beaver Creek, 37-6. Upsala Swanville area, USA over ACGC, 30-12. Rockford shut out Minnewaska. Boy, they were having a tough year this year, 43-0. Brandon Evansville in a squeaker over Ortonville, 30-28. Wheaton Herman Norcross all over Bertha Hewitt, 62-6. Melrose defeated Montevideo after Monty had that big win last week, 19-12. Morris area, Chicago, Alberta, two-point victory over Pierce, 26-24. KMS defeated Benson 28-0. And Bold, in our section, or I think they were in our section, non-conference game over Maple Lake, 28-6. And I wanted to be out at the school for to help Paul Ramo, but I went into the cities, and my high school, Minneapolis Edison, celebrated their 100th year. And it was they're 100 years old, 1920, the fall of 1922. They started, so their first graduating class was 1923. I looked at the yearbook from that year, and I saw my dad in there on the hockey team. So, yeah, and they lost, though, to Columbia Heights, spoiled their homecoming, Edison's homecoming, 34-6. So, talking football now with Tony, and Tony, look a little more bounce in your step when you walked into the studio this morning.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you, were you in that first graduating class from Edison? But you kind of stepped on my touchdown call there when you said your dad was in the first class.
Well, yeah, and my brother graduated, so three in the family graduated from Minneapolis Edison. So,
okay. But. Well, I just had to get that in there.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. Yeah, you know, so during the week, obviously, you have the homecoming stuff, and the guys were upbeat and ready to participate in all of the homecoming festivities, and you know, we just kind of talked this week about just another opportunity for us to get out and play, another opportunity for us to improve, and I felt like we did that in some areas last night. You know, we kicked off to them, and the wind was at our back, and Caden, we kind of figured he was going to kick it to Big Stone County, and he almost did through the back of the end zone, and it was high too. And so, you know, they get the ball in their 20, and we come off the ball nice defensively on the first series, and actually on their third play from scrimmage, excuse me, we forced a fumble, recovered it, and you know, for the probably the first time in a couple of weeks, we felt a lot of momentum. We felt a lot of energy within the group. What was it, on a fourth down play? I actually watched the first half of it back this morning. But on the fourth down play, we had an opportunity with the play called, and we weren't able to execute. But we had two guys. Cade Molden would have had an opportunity to pick two guys to throw the ball to. But so we turned it over on downs back to them, and I think it was on their third play in that series. They broke a long run for, I think it was 87 yards or 88 yards, and there was a missed tackle at about the line of scrimmage, if not 2 yards over the line of scrimmage, which, I mean, that's a big difference there. And so now it's 7-0, and then on our next series, we got a nice kick return, and we were able to then, with a nice long pass from Caden to Ethan Schomer, got the ball down inside the 10, and I think it was on the third play on that first down inside the 10 there, we were able to score. So now the score is 8-7, we thought, okay, we're hanging in there. We're going to be here for the night, and they were able to put some drives together. And I felt like their running back, number four, Hildendahl, he just got stronger as the game went on. And early in the game, when we were able to get off the blocks and make some plays, he wasn't getting the big chunks of yardage that he was second quarter, third quarter, I thought our tackling improved. I thought we came out with a lot of good energy. We just, at the point of attack, sometimes we're just not have enough. We don't have enough rocks in our pockets to hold that back consistently. So, sometimes we got to get creative on the defensive end, and we got to blitz, and we got to take some chances to see if we can get guys in gaps. And when that doesn't happen, or they're able to block us on those blitzes, then we leave ourselves open for some bigger plays. And so that's really kind of where that's happening as far as their big plays go. Defensively, Davis Patzer had a one assist. TJ Mitchell had 5 tackles and 4 assists, one being a tackle for loss. Dylan Keimig had 2 tackles, 2 assists, and a pass breakup. With the, I think it was third quarter. It was early in the fourth quarter. Dylan had an opportunity to pick one off there, and just kind of batted it down, or the guy kind of reached over. So it was a nice play by Dylan on the pass breakup. But he's done some nice things. Damian Torres had 4 assists and a fumble recovery. Peyton Rodmacher had a tackle and 4 assists. Caden Kessler, who's been playing safety, and we were really encouraging him to come down almost into the box a little bit, with just because YME was lining up with 2 tight ends and 3 running backs and saying, here we are, come and get us. He had 5 tackles and 3 assists. Ethan Schomer had 3 tackles, 4 assists. Cade Molden had 4 tackles. He actually caused that first fumble for them. Landon Weber had a tackle, an assist, and a tackle for loss. Tyler Earp had an assist. Brock Biernold had 2 assists. Noah Meyer had a tackle, and Alex Lewis, which I thought was probably one of his better defensive games, had 4 tackles, 2 assists, a tackle for loss. He caused a fumble and also recovered a fumble. So, we spent more time than we have in the past or during the season on tackling this week. We actually line up everybody on the 5-man sled. And we have them wrap and run their feet and run it for 5, 6, 8 yards. Then we get another group on there. So we did that a couple of different times this week, and felt like for some that it really paid off. Offensively, we saw some glimpses of the running game last night, So as we talked about, like we're trying to figure it out on the run, and you can see after we call in a play and we get to the line of scrimmage, you can sometimes see the gears still turning, and that's not always a good thing, but it's they're asking questions and in practices, and they're, hey, you know, if this happens, what do I need to do? So I mean, they're trying to process this, and that's encouraging. On the ground, Landon Weber had 16 carries for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns. Caden Molden had 6 carries for 6 yards. Davis Patzer had a carry for 1 yard, and Gabe Lowry had 1 carry for 3 yards. In the passing game, Peyton Rademacher had 1 catch for 6 yards. Ethan Schomer had 5 receptions for 69 yards and a touchdown. And T.J. Mitchell had 4 catches for 100 yards just before half. You know, it was the clock was running down. It was fourth down. So we just said, okay, we're just going to wait, and we're going to snap it with 5-6 seconds to go on the clock. And we executed, I thought, that very well. I was very pleased with the way that we had managed the time there. I didn't feel in a rush. I didn't panic. And we had enough time. Caden threw the ball up to TJ. Well, unfortunately, there was a guy standing there, and TJ's kind of fighting for some extra yards. And Peyton was standing, I don't know, a yard or two to his right, and he was able to lateral it to Peyton. The problem was that there was another YME guy standing there, was able to force him out of bounds. But if he could have, and obviously you're trying, and that's not processing right away, but I just think if he could have done that right away, there maybe was an opportunity there. But kind of an interesting way to end the half.
Tony, my favorite offensive series was in the first half there with Ethan Schomer. And I call it the Ethan Schomer show, because he had one heck of a kick return back. And then Molden hit him on a long pass. So I thought he was going to score on it. And then the next play, they threw it in a touchdown to Schomer.
Yeah,
he so had kickoff return and 2 catches, and he's in the end zone.
You know, so we run this play where we take essentially 3 guys on one side and we drag him across the field, and we take the receiver on the backside and drag him through. So it's kind of just this masher, this mishmash of stuff going through the middle of the field. And really the play is designed to go with the 3 guys dragging across. But on film, I'm looking at this going, well, there's nobody on the backside. So I told Caden, hey, when we're going to run this play, you hit the backside of this. And he was able to hit him in stride and down the sidelines. And yeah, I think it was Dollinger was able to run him down or tackle him out of bounds. And then he made a really nice catch. It was a nice throw, kind of high and over the defender. And Ethan was able to go up and get it right on the sideline there for the touchdown.
Was he wearing his homecoming crown underneath his helmet? Or
I don't think so. Not with that hair that he's got, which I'm very jealous of. I really wish. I don't think he had the opportunity. And then in the passing game, Caden Molden was. Let's see here. He was 6 of 9 for 116 yards and a touchdown. And then later in the game, Caden had an injury to his thumb. And we had to bring in Davis Patzer in the second half, and he did a nice job running the team there, energy, and he was moving around and he was making some throws and directing traffic, and so he did a nice job, stepped right in there, and so, you know, we'll have to see where that injury takes us, but you know, very, very pleased with the way Davis performed at quarterback there in the second half.
Was it to his throwing hand?
Yes, it was to his throwing hand, and so we'll see where that goes. But you know, Davis got in the huddle and took command, and he showed some nice energy to the group and was able to get us on a couple of drives. So, you know, special teams wise, I thought we did better on the kickoffs. I don't think we punted maybe 2 or 3 times. I guess I can get it put up here, but you know, all in all, I think we made some improvements on a few things that we wanted to address this week or this past week, And now we'll get back into the film and see where some other areas of improvement need to be looked at.
Okay. Well, you got a team that you've had a battle with over the years next week in Canby, and they're pretty explosive and can be a pretty explosive team, but I don't think they're as big up front as you've seen the last 3 weeks.
No, they're not as big. You're right, they are explosive. They spread the ball out and try to throw the ball all over the place and then run in between the tackles a little bit, but you know, they're going to be ready to play, obviously. Oh, yeah. for a home game for them, so we've got to get ourselves ready for the week. As far as the week goes, this week our 7th and 8th graders went to Dawson on Tuesday. The 7th graders were able to win. I don't remember the score. I think it was 14-0 or 12-0. And the 8th graders lost. That one I don't remember what the score was. And then on Monday night, the JV played Dawson at Lacaparl. It was at one point in time there in the third quarter, it was 16-12. We were down, and you know, we had a lot of energy there after we scored a couple of touchdowns to get us to 12. And I believe the final score ended up being 30-12, Dawson. So, you know, we're getting. I think the junior high guys are going to get 8 games in this year, and as of this point, the JV has. Well, we've had 2 scrimmages, but then they've had 3 other games. And as we've done all year, like the JV right now is playing also quite a bit of varsity minutes and so or varsity snaps. So, you know, we're getting a lot of football in and getting some experience.
There you go. So, anything else?
No, homecoming was a blast. There are a lot of festivities, yeah. And obviously being in Madison now, I don't get to participate in all the stuff that that I have before out to Lacaparl, but just a great great attendance yesterday for everything. The gym was packed, and the Pep Fest. You know, if you could button up the Pep Fest into the school song and into the battle cries. Like, to me, that makes that Pep Fest. Every kid standing up, every adult standing up, clapping, singing. It's fantastic. And the battle cries, you get those little kindergartners, all 32 pounds of them trying to yell and scream, trying to spell victory. It's kind of funny. Yeah. But, yeah, and then the people out there for the Taste of Lacaparl and everything that went on for the week. Brad Mitchell and their crew took care of everyone that walked in the building all week long with that pass. I think that was very well received. Talked to him a little bit after the game last night about it. And so, I mean, I don't know what other homecomings are like in other areas. But I sure do like Lacaparl's homecoming and its setup and the way it is all put together.
Yeah, if you didn't get it personally from Brad, you got it in the mail. So
correct.
You really didn't have an excuse not to go to the game. And yeah. It was well attended, I'm assuming.
And volleyball and the coronation and all of that stuff all week long.
Good.
And there's a lot of people that do a lot of things. I know Scott Swatsky's. Well, he has his hands in a lot of it during the week just because of being the building principal and student council. And, I mean, just everybody.
Janitors.
Yeah. Adam Loy and the crew trying to keep everything together. It was a good week and a great end of the week.
Okay, Tony. Well, thanks for your report this morning. Best of luck next Friday and to the other teams during the week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Tony Smith on football. He's going out there for three-man football for the elementary. Lots of good future Eagles out there playing football, running around, and their heroes are the varsity football team. John Sherb in the studio. We'll be talking cross-country after this.
It's Oktoberfest in Madison, September 30th through October 5th. The Madison Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to come on over for the fun. Round the Town Rummage Sales Friday and Saturday, the 30th and the 1st. Check the map of the Western Guard that week for sale locations. The Oktoberfest Car Show by Napa on East Highway 40 will be Saturday, October 1st. Registration 9 a.m. The show from 10 to 2. authentic German meal to Madison DFW on Friday the 30th. Meander Arts Crawl will be going on that weekend. Lou's Madtown Showdown at the Madison Speedway. And the GFW Study Club Spaghetti Dinner October 5th, all during Oktoberfest in Madison. Come on over for the fun. On Sunday, October 2nd, St. James Catholic Church in Dawson is hosting their Fall Festival and Turkey Dinner from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. On the menu, turkey, dressing, mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, cranberry salad, roll, beverage, and pie. Tickets are $14 for adults, $10 for kids 5 to 12, free for age 4 and under. No call-in orders taken this year. Takeouts will be available for adults only. There'll be raffle tickets, cakewalk, games for all ages, and country stores. Come on over to St. James in Dawson on Sunday. Sunday worship for Appleton and Corral Methodist churches will be in Corral this Sunday. That'll be at 11 a.m.
What started from mechanics at Drips Automotive has grown into the Heartland Motor Company you know today. As a third-generation business, we make it our goal to give you the hometown service experience you'd expect. We'll pick up and drop off your vehicle at work, or you can enjoy a cup of coffee in our comfortable lounge while you wait. We want to make your service appointment as comfortable and convenient for you as possible. We learn from humble beginnings. That's what hometown means. Schedule your service appointment online at heartlandmotor.com.
Find new roads at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Ludvigson Tile is proud to be a part of the local ag economy. Every year, we install over 100 water management systems made from quality Prinsco pipe for farmers all across our region. By managing water on fields, we help them maximize yields, decrease soil erosion, and grow healthier, more resilient crops. Ludvigson Tile is accepting projects for the spring and fall tiling seasons. Visit ludvigsontiling.com or give us a call today at 320-226-7022.
This farm safety tip comes to you from Jim's Market in Canby. Has to do with top ATV tips. Always wear a helmet and any necessary safety gear. Never operate an ATV after sunset without proper lighting equipment. Always obey the rules of the road and drive smart. ATVs are built for off-road driving. Stay off paved roads. Never carry passengers. Do not speed. Do not attempt stunts or tricks. This farm safety tip comes to you from Jim's Market in Canby.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, September 30th through Monday, October 3rd in Theater 1, Spider-Man No Way Home, rated PG-13. It's the fun stuff version, the extended version of Spider-Man. And that shows once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison. No movie in Theater number 2 this weekend. Starting October 7th, Lyle Crocodile at the Grand in Madison.
Back here at the Culture Show with John Sherb in the studio. We were unable to talk to you live. Maybe we did.
It was on the bus.
On the bus from Fargo to Grand Forks. So you covered a lot of miles, not only running in cross country, but even on the bus. And a great experience up in Grand Forks,
It was Grand. Yep.
Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, my hat's off to those guys up there. They really put together a really nice job with meet and getting all the teams in and getting the course set. I mean, it was a nice course, good viewing for people. You could see a lot of it, and just they had a live drum line band playing in different spots of the course. They were introducing every team for each race for the 7th grade, 8th grade, what lane assignments they had. So that was really neat to have hear your team recognized and for the kids to get that call out. And just like I said, the whole atmosphere was very, very fun up there, and so it was a great experience, I thought.
They had trouble pronouncing Lacaparo.
Yes, they had a little problem with Lacaparo. They tried every other way you could think of. It's just the way it is, and you get to chuckle, and you get someone trying to help, and he goes, I'll work on it. And it was nice because, you know, a lot of our kids did very well, so we got the name recognized up there, so that was really fun to have that. So, like I said, it was just a great experience for the kids, seeing a lot of teams we don't see. I mean, there's some really good North Dakota teams we knew coming in. There'd be some good ones, but just to see someone else to race against, and you know, new course, new area. And like I said, I thought our kids really grew up well up there, and that was the thing. We're trying to bond well, but also grow. And I thought it started our growing process very well.
Anybody from our area besides you?
Let's see. Lakeview was up there. Okay. I'm trying to tell you, think what else? Benson KMS was up there. That's pretty much everybody that I can think of that was down this far south. I know Malacca brought their team up since they didn't host Malacca. They came up. So you had a few of the Minnesota schools. You had more of the northern ones that came in, and then you started picking up the ones in North Dakota, South Dakota. I know Milbank came up there, okay, too, so that was good because we've seen Milbank, so we can kind of rate ourselves what we're running against them because they're very, very good at all their levels, so it was just kind of nice to see where we fit with that. So, like I said, it was just nice to see a lot of teams, and when you hear some of the teams scoring of some of the teams, you may want to look at a map and see, and there's some really good small schools up there, and that's fun watching, sure, competing against them. So okay, they ran a 7th grade girls race up there. Our two young 7th graders, they are actually three we have, but two, we moved one around a little bit. But our two young ones, our other two 7th graders ran a 7th grade race, are really coming along nicely, and that's what you like to see. Tegan Conroy was 32nd at 14 minutes flat on a 3,000-meter course. Aiden Bond was 50th at 14:54. 8th grade girls, we ran four girls there because we made some movements on some kids, again, just to see where they're at and give them a little bit of a different taste. Paisley Martinson looked really, really sharp through that. I know she fought all the way through. She got 12th at 13:30. Emma Johnson took off, I think, with about, it must have been about three-quarters of a mile left. She was about 25th, 26th place, made a big move to get to 18th, and she got to go up on stage, just a big old grin on her face, and that's what you love to see, her get up there and get a t-shirt. She was 13:59. Quinn Larson was 23rd at 14:13, and Madison Lee was 52nd at 16:21. JV girls, they ran the 5K up there. The bad thing, a lot of the JV girls and JV boys were the last race of the day, so when we got up there at 10:30, they didn't run until about 4 o'clock or 4. So it's a long wait, but we made a run the morning. We got some extra luncheon meat and fruit and stuff like that, so the kids could get something to eat if they were late on the race. And that, I know when Conover, I went over to talk, we may get a little snack in between races, and it was like all we had was peanut butter, a jar of peanut butter. And that was it. So we didn't bother the idea of eating peanut butter with that, even though we had some spoons to do it. We skipped on it and just survived through it. But JV girls 5K, good to see where they're at. Just kind of get that. Poost, Micaiah Poost was 69th at 25:03. Alyssa Swinski was 74th at 25:09. Grace Vosick, who got her debut, she's been nicked up throughout the year, been trying to slowly bring her back, so she got to debut her first race of the season. She was 101st at 26:20. The Mackenzie Call was 119th at 27:24. Ashlyn Woolley was 143rd at 29:31. JV boys ran 5K also. And again, now the JV boys, remember the JVs and junior highs, they run all both classes together. So you're seeing all the big, like Moorheads in there and Fargo's, and you're getting a lot of those schools. So our kids, I thought, handled themselves running just within that tighter field. Joseph Felton was 77th at 20:13. Then we had Jordan Perkins at 83rd at 20:24. Then we had Luke Stock at 109th at 21:03. Baxter Colliff was 126th at 21:26. Hudson Giese was 184th at 25:12. Brendan Sherb was 185th at 25:23. And Porter Peterson was 195th at 26:46. Varsity girls, we knew there were some teams that we haven't seen. The only one I knew was going to be in that hunt was Milbank. So we kind of figured, where do we fit with Milbank and how can we work on that? But after that, we didn't know what to see. And I thought our kids really, made some big strides. And that's what we're kind of looking at. We're starting to get that second half of the season. We've got to kind of start putting some things together. And starting with our girls, they really, really got after some things. Chloe Gleggy really took off. About a mile or so ago, she looked very sharp, and she looked like she was ready to move, and Taylor was kind of, she was in that fight mode, and I said, you got to go, Chloe, you got to take off, and Taylor will go with you, but you got to start, separate. And Chloe took off, and she went off big time for her best race of the year until we ran on Thursday. She ran her next best race of the year. So she really is starting to come into herself there. She was our top runner. She finished 24th at 21:05, and that's a PR by 45 seconds to a minute. And she really, and she looked sharp all day. When she got through, she didn't look like she was devastated. So I think there's another gear in there for her. And Taylor Shelsa was right behind her. Taylor was 36th at 21:45. Annika Fernals was 51st at 22:17. Maya Conroy, we finally got her back into the fold. And that's what we've been trying to, she's been a kind of that, little sleeper there, but just kind of there, kind of not. And then she really looked sharp, and she was 52nd at 22:20. Then Taylor Wood was 54th at 22:21. Brooklyn Starroot, our young seventh grader, we moved her up there. She was 55th at 22:25. And then Harper Grunholtz, 61st at 23 flat. And that was a PR for her for, I think, by about 45 seconds also. Scoring-wise, you know, our pack was big. And that's we've got to keep sliding it up. And that's we're going to, you know, if we're going to keep making some noise at these meets on the girls' side, we've got to get this pack a little tighter, but with everybody still moving up. And that's, I thought it really did a nice job of that. Rugby North Dakota won it with 50, which is a really nice score. And they look solid. And Milbank, who we've seen all season, you know, we've seen a few times, and they're very sound. They were second at 103. Bowman was third at 122. Wadena Deer Creek at 128. Kindred 148. And then we were next and sixth at 189. So very happy with the girls. Very, very pleased with them. I think a lot of them got their eyes opened up of what they can do, and that's what we're looking at doing.
How many teams in the girls?
There was 30 teams in the division.
And you got sixth.
Sixth.
Good.
Yeah, so like I said, it was a nice field, nice to find out where we're at. And as like I said, the girls are coming along where we're just right need to be, and that's what's good to see.
Yeah.
Varsity boys, we've got some injuries. We got some kids coming back from injuries. We're trying to move some kids around. We're trying to clean it up a little bit here. And so you really don't know where we're at with our middle, and I think our middle, you know, is coming on now, and that's what we're kind of looking. We're finally getting healthy. I think we're getting our stride back in it. You know, Gavin Carl continues to learn, on that front side from being a JVer last year, for most of the year last year, to sliding into that number one spot. That, you know, you like the growth there, and he wasn't afraid to bump and get into those guys and run with the big boys, and he finished 12th with a time of 17:12. So that's, you know, that's right. That's his personal best also. So he was right in the thick of things where we need to have him. Then Eli Hagelin has been one that we've kind of trying to get him back in the fold. He's one that ran real early. Then he got kind of a little bit, some soreness and some nicks a little bit. We've been kind of getting him back into it. So that's going to be one of our big slots, is we got to get him coming back in that slot. He was 33rd at 18:07, which is not bad at all. Just got to work on that front side of his race a little bit more. Tayden All Clark. He's been nicked. He's been, he's had a lot of things. He's been fighting for the last probably 3 weeks, and finally his legs have come around, and he decided to really get a good one. He was 40th at 18:22, which is a personal best for him for a 5K. So that's another one that's getting back into it. Then, you know, Tygan Allpress was 53rd at 18:48. Then we had Justin Perkins at 69th at 19:13. James Weber, 104th at 20:11. And then Cade Solom was 101st at 20:06. So, again, we're coming along nicely, you know, because we're running a lot of sophomores and juniors. So when you lose your front three guys off of last year's team and you're rebuilding, we're rebuilding really nice, and these kids are coming along really well. The boys, Bowman, North Dakota, is a machine. They had 5 in the top 10, and that is impressive to see what they did. They won it with 22. And they're just like, it's like everybody's looking. Well, I think you know who's got first.
What school is that?
Bowman's a little town. That's a small school in southwestern part of the state. It's near the Montana-South Dakota border, and they drove all the way to Grand Forks for an event. And they're, like I said, I don't think it's very big. And I know they've, year in and year out in North Dakota, their boys and girls teams have won a lot of state titles there. So very, very good program, like I said, just to watch that score. Milbank was second at 110, Kindred at 113, they had 125, Holdingford at 138, Ottertail at 199, we were at 207th place. So very, very pleased with that. You know, if we get our spots back where we have, this team's going to be interesting. Seventh, we were seventh overall. Yep, so very happy with that. And that was the good thing, just to see where we're at. So I think the experience of going all the way up there was well worth it. I thought the kids handled it well, and they stepped up, and I think they learned something.
Well, you know, if you go back next year and you perform like that, they're going to be able to pronounce Lacaparo correctly.
Yes, that's the, hopefully the plan is with that. But like I said, that's what the kids excelled, and the kids, you know, got a chance to really find out, and that's what we're trying to do with this program and what we got. Then Thursday we went over to YME, which we knew that would be a good test for us because we've been chasing Canby all year. They've always we've been in the a distance from them all year, and so we thought we'd get a shot, see where it closed the gap a little bit, see what we have, and you know. I thought our kids really ran well on a good course, and so that's hopefully gives us another stepping stone again for a good week for us. In the 7th and 8th grade girls race, our top runner was Tegan Conroy. She was 6th at 10:13. Then Quinn Larson was 9th at 10:29. Then we had Aiden Bond at 10th at 10:39. And then Madison Lee was 24th at 12:24. So like I said, those young ones are continuing to grow, and they're our future. I think there's a lot of talent coming up in the 7th and 8th grade bunch. If we can continue to make some strides, we'll be good. Then they go into and they combine JV and varsity, so basically 9 through 12. We moved up our 1 7th grader and then all of our most of our 8th graders to get just to find out where they're at on the team. And also it's a way to kind of maybe motivate some of the older kids just to kind of say, hey, you need to be ready to go because, again, that's you know where our next level is. And, you know, like I said, it just worked really well for us. Chloe Gleggie continues to, again, she took off again and looked very good. And she was third overall at 21:08. Taylor Shelstead was right behind her. She was in sixth. She was in 21:40. Annika Infernals was eighth at 22:05. Taylor Wood was 10th at 22:12. That's a PR for her. Again, almost all these girls ran on their marks or where they needed to be, and that's good to see there. Brooklyn Starrood was next, and she was actually in the team scoring that first came out that night. We were tied and lost on tiebreaker. They didn't have her in the scoring. So they got her back in the scoring, so that's going to be a big change on the scoring when I tell you that part. But Brooklyn Starrood was 17th at 22:48. Shea Bothan was right behind her. She was at 19th at 23:16. Then we had, Grunholz. And she's at 22nd at 23:40. Then we had Emma Johnson at 32nd at 25:21. Then we had Paisley Martinson at 35th at 25:38. Ella Stock was 61st at 34:14. Kendall Johnson was 50th at 27:56. Alyssa Swinsky was 37th at 25:46. Micaiah Poos was 39th at 25:58. Daytona Bissett was 33rd at 25:26, and Mackenzie Call was 52nd at 28:54. Scoring wise, we ended up beating Canby. We ended up winning it with 36. Canby was second with 39. Central Minnesota Christian was at 58. Lakeview 114. BKMS at 115. I know Canby didn't run a couple of the younger ones. They were down. So I know they had a bigger race coming up today. I think they're running at Wilmer. So, but we know where we're at with them and where we can kind of piece ourselves. And that was the good thing for our girls to have some confidence to go with that. Boys, you know, going again, we've been chasing the boys all season, and you know they're that good. And it's just we need to close that level on them, so we're chasing them down. And I thought our boys really picked up some spots there, and you know we've had some kids that really made another step up. And so again. Gavin Carl was third overall at 17:08, and he actually talked about trying to change some tempo a little bit, and he got into the race and about mile and a half or so he decided to change the tempo. Instead of letting other kids control the tempo, he actually took off and took the lead and tried to press it a little bit. And that's he's got to find his nature of the running style, and that's what's coming along with him trying different spots of being sharp and seeing where he can make another move. And I was very pleased with seeing him making that change. It's just you get out of your comfort zone, but you got to get out of your comfort zone to find out where you can go. So like I said, he had a great race at third. Eli Hagelin now had a bounce back race. He looked a lot better on Thursday. He was sixth overall at 17:38. Then Tayden Clark is ninth at 18:08. And that's, again, he's getting close to breaking that 18 minutes. That's why we keep talking to these guys. We got to break 18. That's our goal. Then Tegan Allpress was 12th at 18:32. And then Justin Perkins was 20th at 18:58. Then we had Joseph Felton at 33rd at 20:04. Baxter Colliff at 68, 21:53. Luke Stock was 51st at 20:52. Hudson Keyes, he was 94th at 24:37. And Jordan Perkins was 43rd at 20:32. Scoring-wise, Canby won it with 45. We were second with 48. Monty was third at 80. BKMS 126. McCray 167. Ortonville 188. Lakeview 170. Bold 190. And Border West at 190. So it was a good process for our kids. It's now we know we need to be and to build off. And again, great race, but again, now we start again, we work on for the next week, and that's our focus, is trying to get better as a group, as individually, as a group, as a team, to make our progress known, and that's what we just keep doing.
Yeah, and a couple important meets coming up Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah, Tuesday we're going to probably split squad. It's, we go to Monty, so we're probably not going to run our varsity boys and girls there, just because we need a week of training, and we really haven't been able to get a good training workout in, so we're going to probably go through a training workout on Monday. And then, so they're not going to race on Monday, but they're going to go and they're going to get their 5-6 miles in there at the golf course there, while the other, while the junior high and JV will go at it. And then Thursday is kind of a good idea what the section course looks like, because again, we have kids on this team that haven't seen the section course, so we got to find out what it's like and be like. So we're going down there on Thursday down there to Laverne, just to find out what we can do and see a lot of the teams in that south that we don't know about, and so just kind of see where we're at and hopefully continue what we're doing. And that's what we're trying to do, is just continue to build. And I really like the way we've changed the attitude, and that's what's so important. We've kind of now started to understand, hey, everybody is helping everybody, instead of I'm this person. No, what can we do? And we still can do it individually, and that's why I really like what I've seen this last week.
Okay, well, you had a good week, and on wood, knock on wood, and have another good week. Preparing for the section, which will be held in the south at Laverne here in a couple weeks. So
that's what we can do.
Yeah. Thanks for the report. Best of luck. We'll hear all about it
Sounds
next Saturday.
Good. Thank you.
Yes. Well, we're going to Paul Ramo talked to Dr. Hacker. He's up in Alexandria for the conference tennis tournament, and we'll hear that next. And we will not have a volleyball report, as the volleyball coach is out to helping with the junior high invitational at Lacaparra, and we'll hear all about this past week and this up and coming week from her next Saturday morning. We'll listen to that interview with Paul Ramo and Dr. Hacker after this.
The Farmers and Merchants State Bank in Appleton brings you this farm safety tip. According to the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, crashes involving farm vehicles and equipment are rare. However, when they do happen, they can result in serious injuries and death. Minnesota roads see increased farm equipment traffic during harvest, so be prepared when coming up upon a farm tractor or equipment. This farm safety tip brought to you by Farmers and Merchants State Bank in Appleton.
As a national leader in biofuels, Minnesota is bringing drivers a better fuel option that not only costs less, but is also better for your vehicle. Unleaded 88 fuel is a cleaner burning option that helps reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Add the octane boost, and unleaded 88 is the clear choice the next time you fill up. Look for the yellow 88 octane button, or find unleaded 88 at a station near you at betterfuel.org. Brought to you by your local Lacaparra County corn and soybean growers and their checkoffs.
It's Oktoberfest in Madison, September 30th through October 5th. The Madison Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to come on over for the fun. Round the Town Rummage Sales Friday and Saturday, the 30th and the 1st. Check the map of the Western Guard that week for sale locations. The Oktoberfest Car Show by Napa on East Highway 40 will be Saturday, October 1st. Registration 9 a.m. The show from 10 to 2. Authentic German Meal to Madison DFW on Friday the 30th. Meander Arts Crawl will be going on that weekend. Lou's Madtown Showdown at the Madison Speedway and the GFW Study Club Spaghetti Dinner October 5th, all during Oktoberfest in Madison. Come on over for the fun.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach Show. We're going to travel up to Alexandria this morning, because that's where the Lacaparra Valley Dawson Boy girls tennis team are competing, I believe, in the conference. And Coach Hacker is taking time off here to chat with us a little bit. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm up on the tennis courts in Alexandria here.
Yeah, you guys got up early this morning.
Yeah, we were on the bus at about 6:15, man. We were rolling.
All the girls doing after homecoming last night.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there wasn't a lot of open eyes on the bus. It was pretty much just me and Austin.
What's happening in Alexandria today?
Yeah, we're playing conference tournaments. So we get up here with, the 8 other schools. There's 9 of us total. We line up in our flight. So, all the first singles players play against each other. All the second singles play against each other, kind of so on all the way down the lineup. So
So that's what we're doing right now. And we got two. We got Caitlin Whitnable and Maddie Matthews actually out on the court warming me up for their first matches right now. So
should be
a good day of tennis here.
Good.
It's nice. Yeah, we get to come up to Alexander. They got 20 courts we can use up here. So
20 courts.
20 courts. Yeah, they've got 12 at one site and 8 at another. We get a lot of tennis in.
How does the conference work? Is it like a team champion and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, it's not so much a team champion as much as there is an individual champion for your first singles flight sort of thing. So, they don't really give a team champion for conference.
Okay.
Kind of interesting that way. Girls compete for conference points, you know, throughout the year to be all conference selection. So that's something they're striving to do. So
good.
So I'm hoping we get a few of those at the end of the season too here.
You want to take some time and recap last week's matches?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It sounds good. I mean, we hosted McRae on Tuesday. We ended up pulling out a strong win there. We had a good day. It was 7-0 for us. We had a couple matches that could have gone either way. We had a third setter and 4 singles we pulled out. But overall, the gals played really well. I think we're kind of peaking at the right time of the season here as things are starting to wind down for us already. We kind of stuck with our same lineup. Caitlin Whitnable played 1 single. Maddie Matthews, 2 singles. Hannah Oy, 3 singles. Sadie Hacker, 4 singles. And all of them picked up some nice wins there. Caitlin, Maddie, and Hannah had some pretty easy matches. Sadie pulled out a 3-setter, so she did a nice job there turning things around in that third set. Stuck with our same lineup, too. We've had a lot of success with it. Claire Lowry and Kayla Jan played 1 doubles. They pulled out a nice win there. Callie Borman and Gertie Sieg at 2 doubles did a nice job. And then Kaylin Jorgensen and Elsie Wiebe at 3 doubles also posted another win for us. And, you know, just a shout-out to Taylin and Elsie. They've actually got the best record on our lineup at this point in the season. And so good for them. They were 12-3 after that match. So they've had a nice run here. And then we turned around and went up to Morris on Thursday for a rainout match that we weren't able to play earlier in the season. Morris, tough team. Caitlin did a nice job. We picked up wins across our singles lineup again at 1, 2, 3, 4 singles. Same players with Caitlin Whitnable at 1, Maddie Matthews at 2, Hannah Oy at 3, and Sadie Hacker at 4. And then Claire Lowry, Kayla Janet, 1 doubles, pulled off a nice first set, 6-1, but the other team got scrappy, played well, did a nice job, made them work harder, and I think got in their heads a little bit too. And Kayla and Claire ended up losing that in 3 sets. And kind of same thing with Callie Borman and Gertie Sieg. They lost their first set, came back, played a good scrappy second set, but just ended up losing that third set, doing some things we need to be a little bit more careful about. And we're working on those things, and they know it too. We talked about, that their opponents had a lot of easy balls at net, which in doubles, that's kind of the kiss of death. Once you give your opponent the ball at the net, especially an easier ball, it's usually kind of the points over. Hopefully a learning opportunity coming into the conference tournament today. And then Elsie Wiebe and Taylin Jorgensen playing third, did a nice job winning first set in a tiebreaker and then pulling off the second set 6-3. So again, posted another win to their record. And Alexis Olsen, Maya Virgie have been kind of our consistent exhibition players this year. They did a nice job as well. Played a couple sets, and then Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson also were able to come with for exhibition. So had a nice day up at Morris there, actually. It was good weather, a little windy, but we didn't get rained out this time. So
all right. Good. Good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now you're up in Alexandria for conference today.
Yeah, we're up here all day. We've got, we'll be keeping players kind of rotating through all day long. We'll pretty much have somebody playing. Usually if we can wrap things up by supper time, we're doing well. So, that's the goal here. We'll see if we can do that today.
The girls back up to last night for homecoming. You guys were in the commons area there with the taste of La Caparal Valley and how'd that go for you?
Yeah, we do kind of a caramel apple thing. We slice up some apples. We get those from Mr. Meese from his parents' orchard. So we get some good apples there and then we make some homemade caramel and it goes well. It's a lot of fun to kind of see everybody get together and do that. That's a pretty cool deal that they started doing out there. It's amazing the different foods people are bringing out there. Yeah. And oh my gosh, it was
You know, there's some really good stuff.
Yeah, so. I ate too much.
Yeah, I think we all did, right?
I think I had Claire Lowry and Callie Borman up at halftime of the football game. They were my halftime guests on the radio, and they did really well.
Oh, great.
And they told some van stories on you, Dr. Hacker. So.
That's not good, man. So I was cleaning up the caramel apple, and they're telling stories. Oh, man. I'm going to have to talk to them.
Yeah. I got to share, Claire, one of the greatest quotes I've seen a student athlete ever make. I asked both of them, I said, why are you out for tennis? Why tennis? And Claire Lowry looked right in my eyes and said, because I'm good at it. I thought that was an awesome answer.
Right? There you go.
All right. Do you have your lineup out there the day right now, or who's playing?
Yeah, so Caitlin is going to be one singles for us today. Maddie Matthews, two singles, and they're both on the court playing. Hannah Oy will be third singles, and Sadie Hacker, fourth singles. They're not on the courts quite yet. And then doubles lineup, we're sticking with our usual, what's worked for us this season, and we've had success there, is Claire Lowry and Kayla Jan at one doubles. They've done a great job. Kelly Borman and Gertie C get two doubles, and then Taylan Jorgensen and Elsie Wiebe at three doubles. So those are our entries at the conference tournament today. And I'm hoping we get some success here today. We'll see. Hopefully we end the conference at least on a nice note today.
Okay. And then what happens this week? Anything on the agenda?
And then turn around on Tuesday. It looks like Rockets just came out yesterday afternoon. We're the third seed out of eight teams right now. It looks like we'll be hosting McCray at home on Tuesday. And then if we win there, we get to keep playing. If we lose, it's, lose and go home. We're done for the season as a team already.
Okay.
But if we win on Tuesday, we will travel down to Sioux Falls on Thursday and play for the semifinals and then finals, hopefully, if we get to that point.
Sioux Falls, huh? Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We play indoors at its Match Point down there. It's a beautiful tennis facility. It's got six indoor courts. So they're allowing us to come in and use their facility, which is great, really nice to have. So at that point, though, that Thursday will determine the team that goes from our section to state.
Okay. All right. Real good. Well, the best of luck today up in Alexandria. A long day of tennis, and looking forward to hearing the results.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Hey, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yep. Dr. Brant Hacker, head coach of the Lockbrow Valley Dawson Boy girls tennis team, and we'll take a break and be right back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do with all the money you save?
What you gonna do with all the money you save at Jubilee Foods in Madison this week? USDA Choice Boneless Chuck Roast is $3.99 a pound. Eats smart vegetables, two 12-ounce packages, $5. Select varieties. Best Choice russet potatoes, 10 pounds, $4.99 at Jubilee Foods in Madison, where they bag your groceries and carry them right out to your car.
What you gonna do with all the money you save?
Back here at the Coach's Show. Well, we survived another homecoming, Paul.
Yep.
And just a great atmosphere out there all week long. Every coach, every athlete, every student, I think, was very positive about everything. So great school spirit. That's fantastic. So got a couple Dick Newman six jokes of the week. Here we go. Where do you learn how to make a banana split? Sunday school, of course. What does a sprinter eat before a race? Nothing. They fast. And how does the moon cut its own hair? Eclipse it. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you do not have to play a sport to be one.
KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber.